Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen to this special episode. Our brothers and sisters, Armenians around the world, today we must gather as a united force, bound by our history, our identity, and our unwavering love for our ancestral lands. We stand at a pivotal moment, faced with the urgent need to defend the very existence of Artsakh and Armenia's historical territories. As children of a proud and resilient nation, we know the importance of unity. Our strength lies not only in the blood that courses through our veins, but in our collective determination to uphold justice, truth, and the rights of indigenous people to their lands. Just as our ancestors fought to preserve our culture and heritage, we must now come together to safeguard the lands that hold the echoes of their sacrifices. Let us never forget the horrors of the past, the genocide that our forebears endured. The pain and the suffering they faced remain etched in our hearts, a stark reminder of the consequences of division and silence. But today, we rise as one to declare that we will not let history repeat itself. We will not stand idle while foreign powers seek to displace us from our rightful homes. No government, no force should have the audacity to remove indigenous people from their lands. We are the guardians of our history, the protectors of our culture, and the voices that speak for those who can no longer speak for themselves. Our duty is not just to ourselves, but to future generations, to ensure they inherit the rich tapestry of our heritage, unblemished and intact. We must channel our pain, our anger, and our grief into resolute force that stands against injustice. We must be strong, unyielding, and unafraid to declare to the world that we will not be erased from our lands. Our unity is a testament to the endurance of the Armenian spirit, and it is through this unity that we will triumph against adversity. Let us rally around the flag of our shared history. Let our voices rise as a chorus of determination, echoing the resilience of our ancestors. The struggle we face today is not only for us, but for the generations that will follow. Let our actions be guided by the memory of those who came before us and the hope of a better future for those yet to come. Armenians around the world, let us stand together, firm and unyielding. Let us declare to the world that the Armenian spirit is unbreakable, that our love for our homeland is unwavering, and we will not let history's shadows engulf us again. In unity and in strength, we shall prevail. God bless you all. God bless Artsakh, and God bless Armenia.
Imagine a civilized 21st century and 120,000 Christians, 30,000 of them children, are held hostage by one dictator. This is not fiction. It's happening right now. On Christmas Eve, 120,000 Christian Armenians in the Democratic Republic of Artsakh were put under siege by one dictator, Aliyev, the corrupt president of the neighboring country, Azerbaijan. Ilham Aliyev inherited the power over Azerbaijan from his father, KGB agent Heydar Aliyev, who in turn had control over the country for decades. Armenians were the first nation to adopt Christianity as a state religion in 301 AD. Despite continuous attacks by Romans, Arabs, Turks, and others, Armenians remained in their motherland. Even after the Armenian Genocide in 1915, organized by the Ottoman Empire, where 1.5 million Armenians were massacred, they still stayed living in their homeland. To stop the next genocide by the next tyrant, go to unblockhumanity.com and act now. One of the standout examples of the Armenian commitment to the preservation of their land and culture is the Armenian state of Artsakh, the Democratic Republic of Artsakh. Armenians have been living for more than 3,000 years in Artsakh, which is also known by its Russian-Turkish name, Nagorno-Karabakh. They stayed here even though Soviet leaders literally gifted Artsakh with its 95% Armenian population to Azerbaijan in 1921. And ever since, Armenians have been under constant ethnic cleansing by the Azerbaijani government. In 2020, Azerbaijan attacked the Republic of Artsakh and killed more than 4,000 Armenian soldiers and civilians, after which Russian peacekeepers entered the region and stood between Azerbaijan and Artsakh. After the war, the only connection to the rest of the world left for 120,000 Armenians in Artsakh is a 10-meter-wide paved road. No sea, no air communications, no trains, nothing. Just one single road, which right now is entirely blocked by Azeris. Though the Democratic West, including the USA, France, and Germany, as well as the UN and the EU, started to urge Dictator Aliyev to open the corridor, the road still remains blocked. Aliyev's goal of finishing off the ethnic cleansing in Artsakh remains in full force. Freedom House ranks Azerbaijan as one of the most repressive states, and Transparency International ranks it among the world's most corrupt. And yet, Dictator Aliyev, the president of Azerbaijan, and his wife, the vice president of Azerbaijan, accumulate their wealth by selling Azerbaijan's oil and gas to the Western world. Moreover, they're deceiving Europe by secretly selling them Russian gas. In fact, Aliyev's regime recently signed a contract for buying 1 billion cubic meters of Russian gas. Due to this siege, essential life supplies such as food, medicine, and other necessities cannot reach Artsakh. People are starving, shops are closing, kids are left without food, hospitals stay without key medical supplies. There are constant gas, electricity, and internet cuts due to the lines being interrupted by Azeris. Dozens of people who have been separated from their families since December 12, 2022 cannot return to their homes. Though the people of Artsakh are very strong and stand the hardships, they may simply not survive if the siege continues. But this is the case where we, the people, can bring the change. To see what you can do to unblock humanity in Artsakh, go to unblockhumanity.com and act now, before it's too late.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Medhedosner Podcast, a very special episode. We're calling it Unity Beyond Borders, the Diaspora's Role in the Artsakh Blockade. We are live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's Thursday, August 24th, 2023. I'm your host, Vik Aslanyan, and as always, I'm joined by Mike Balyam, but he's running late, so he's not here. He'll join us soon, where we discuss our great Armenian history, covering different eras and topics. Please hit that like button, subscribe, and make sure you share with your friends and family. You may join us in the conversation, in the chat, ask us any questions, and ask questions to our guests. A lot of you know that I was in Armenia, and I just got back. We're going to launch our season 4 next week, but I really wanted to do something due to the current situation. We all know what's taking place in Artsakh and the Lachin corridor. On December 12th of 2022, Azerbaijan blockaded the corridor under the fake pretext of environmental concerns. They basically hired these fake activists who were paid by the Azerbaijan government, and then a few months ago they pretty much set up a military checkpoint, and basically they're not allowing any type of essentials to go in, food, medicine, and on top of that they keep cutting the electricity, the gas, internet, and their goal is to create an unbearable situation where these indigenous people of Artsakh, who are our Armenian brothers and sisters, either leave or starve to death. And this is uncalled for. So, you know, when I was in Armenia, I was also following the social media of everything that was happening here in the States. As a diasporan, we, you know, you want to do so much. And I know that after the war, there was a lot of disappointment. That unity we had during the war has kind of died down, but I think it's time for it to come back. And today our guests are longtime activists who are just regular people with regular lives who love Armenia and Artsakh, and have done so much. So I wanted to bring them on and talk about the diaspora's role, being involved in bringing awareness to the blockade on the international level, and because every day counts right now. It's very dire. I want to introduce Anush Muradian and David Manatsakanyan, who are the ones who were involved with the traffic blockade. And then from there, you guys went to the Azerbaijan consulate and held a blockade there overnight. You got how many days?
Six days. 6 days and nights.
Yeah. And I think that hurricane didn't help. But I think you guys needed a break as well. But first, can you talk a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got into activism, and then we'll go to David.
Sure. Well, thank you for having us, first of all. I'm Anush Muradian, mother of three that never went to sleep after 2020, being very active, doing human rights activism, protests, awareness, anything possible to bring world's attention to Artsakh conflict situation and the people in right now. It's genocide 2023 right now.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we call the things the way they are. It is genocide 2023. And we've been holding a lot of protests about like POWs. We've had how many protests we've had, Dave, remember? Like 3-4?
Yeah.
In different locations with different messaging, demonstrations we've held. And today, we're losing Artsakh. I mean, I can say it like that. And as you said, if day by day things are changing, I would say minute by minute.
We're realists. We're not going to pretend that it's not happening.
No, it is
real. We're losing Artsakh.
It's happening.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate and it's heartbreaking. And as an Armenian, I don't understand if you're an Armenian and you just don't think about it or you're not being realistic. It's just, you know, we need to snap out of it and realize that, yes, we're losing Artsakh.
I think the fatigue of the war, what I've noticed and when I was there, I think a lot of people, especially from diaspora, everybody did a lot, especially financially, and we were expecting this great outcome, which didn't happen, which was the wrong way to approach this. When you're doing something, you do it out of love, right?
Exactly.
No matter what the outcome is, you keep fighting. And that fatigue, I think, has been on the Armenian community diaspora too long. We need to snap out of it. Like you said, we need to wake up. Enough is enough. I mean, the things that I saw there, we'll get into it. But the point of this is about uniting everybody, waking everybody, putting that fire under everybody.
Yes.
Because if we don't do something right now,
it might be too late tomorrow.
Yes.
Or exactly. Maybe an hour from now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that bad.
Yeah. David, can you tell people, introduce yourself and a little bit about your background?
Hi, I'm David Manatsakanyan. I'm Armenian, of course. Love my country endless. Since the war started, even before that, we've been always involved in Armenian community here in Armenia and in other regions of Armenia. We've done many projects before. When the war started, obviously we could not sit in a home. We had to get up and then, you know, do our part because we're not there. We're not in a war zone. We're here. So I could not just stay home and then, you know, do nothing. You know, we just did what we had to do and, you know, did protest, did everything we had to do. Even we did hunger strike to, you know, raise awareness.
Yeah.
And reach out the, you know, House of Representatives to know what's going on in the world.
Okay.
People need to know what's happening right now.
Now, from all the protests you guys have done since the war, and we're talking off air that you guys have done so much, but once the blockade started last year, you guys have been extremely active. What kind of results have you guys seen? What kind of disappointments have you seen? I want people, because you guys are in the trenches, you guys are out there doing so much. And I want people to understand the reality of what's happening. So can you guys talk about everything you go through, the stress, the struggle, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything?
Sure. Do you want me to go ahead or do you want to?
Yeah, start now.
Well, since the first day of blockade, actually that first night, we spent overnight in front of Azeri consulate. Okay, the first disappointment was we were only 12 of us. That was my first disappointment. But then again, I thought, you know, it's the first day. Maybe people don't know it or they don't watch news. You know, there's always like excuses you try to find to kind of give everyone an excuse, right, to get out of it. But in reality, we should always be aware of everything that is happening and we can't be indifferent. So since that day we started, we've done numerous things, email blasts, Twitter-tons. Like we have a huge team of volunteers working on this cause day and night. Email blasts to politicians, to members of European Parliament. It's all on our website, like everything we've done. It's what disappoints me is that everyone's trying to label like who's doing it. Like, why do you care who's doing it? Like, if this is your cause, you believe in this, like you like it, just click the button and send the email.
Yeah.
If there's one sentence that you don't like, you can easily change it.
Of course.
I mean, come on. It doesn't take much. It's a click, click, click. And we make even Twitter-tons. We make it so easy. Pre-draft, we put it in the link and we try to make everyone's life so easy so they don't have an excuse. Oh, my English isn't well. I can't draft a tweet or I can't draft them. I understand not everyone is, you know, technical in that. But then when you see the numbers, they're like, we pretty much gave you everything on a golden platter and all you need to do, just take it.
Show up there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, or just be there, like just come and support. And I always tell everyone, like, oh, what are these protests going to do? That I'm like, listen, I went to protests in 2020 by just standing with my people. Energy there, the love, the support, the caring for one another, feeding each other, even the street pizza, it felt amazing.
Yeah.
The bond we've created, we are about like 30, 40 volunteers. I call ourselves patriots.
Yeah.
We became a family now.
Of course.
Since 2020, and we've been working together. And the love and respect we have for each other, it's unconditional.
Yeah.
Because we're only for one cause, and we're Armenians.
Yeah.
Regardless of everything else.
You know, we'll talk about the achievements.
Yes.
And what you guys have done so far. But I want to mention, you guys see not a hashtag, the QR code on the corner, that is the Unblock Humanity. If you scan that, it will take you to the website. Like Anush said, everything's done. It's on a platter. Just put your information, hit like send, and it will create everything and it will send it. So, I think there's like about 13,000 letters so far, which is
nothing for us.
A diaspora that is supposed to be 10 million. So share that. Please scan it, complete it, share it with friends and family. This is very important. And I can't say this enough. We can't just sit there and watch other people or people like Anush and David do all the work.
We can't do it alone.
We have to join. We have to help support. If you can't be there, at least share it. Get the word out there. Do something.
Send a friend.
Yeah. There you go.
Send a friend.
Call a friend, right?
Call a friend.
There you go.
I told one of our guys yesterday, oh, I can't come. Like, you know, that's fine. Can you send two people?
One thing.
You're a good
salesperson.
I like
one
that.
One thing I can say about the disappointment, right?
Yeah.
I think it's time in our community, not only Armenians and overall who lives in this geolocation where we are. I feel like as a abiding citizens, we have to be more involved what's going on in our communities too.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, as a human activist myself too, if I see there is a cause related to any other nation that they're going into a hard time, I feel it's my moral responsibility to stand next to them and help them out too.
Great point.
If we can remember the, you know, Black Lives Matters.
Yeah.
What happened, you know, obviously I wasn't happy with all the violence things happened.
Yeah.
This and that with the Congress and House, you know, in the Capitol and so on and on. But overall, I think like as a community, we have to be all united.
Yeah.
And that's where we can keep our community safe. and, you know, help each other for anything that's happening in the community. And I feel like a lot of Armenians, because of the past experience, you know, they were very discouraged.
Yeah.
And they were not aware of what's going on. But Artsakh issue is a very, very serious issue.
Of course.
It's a very sensitive topic. And people have different types of political views. Because of that, they don't support, they talk, you know, behind about us, or, you know, they have a different opinion about that.
Yeah.
But however, we're there only for one reason, to raise awareness. And, you know, by being united, all Armenians in the world, yeah. We strongly believe, regarding of our political views, you know, we can be united.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, address this issue, and we can awaken all the Armenians that there are the countries, and then, you know, address this.
Yeah.
As an Armenian, as a diaspora representative.
Yeah, that's the only way we could unite, if we put all our differences aside.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the biggest issue within the diaspora, is these so many fractions of political organizations, NGOs, you know, that are, it seems like they care, but at the same time, their agenda is first, which is not the time for that. I understand. Everybody has their own mission. They want to do something, which is great. But
that's amazing. But
right now, it's not the time for that. Right now,
we have only one agenda today. It's Artsakh.
Yes, and well, and the other thing is, we're all Armenian. That's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Politics don't matter. Your you know, whatever party you belong to doesn't matter. You are Armenian, and you need to stand up to what's going on. Because one thing you mentioned, you know, genocides happen, not just to Armenians, there's especially in Africa, there's a lot of genocides that have happened and will happen. And this should be an example that, hey, if we allow this to happen, other countries, other indigenous people will suffer as well. Because exactly. Everybody's kind of turning a blind eye. And, you know, I think we need to also, as diasporans, put aside whatever the Armenian government is doing, or whatever Azerbaijan, as human beings, we need to stand and bring the international community, other human beings, and say, this is not okay.
And that's exactly what's my point. The next thing was about discouragement, right? Was we have a House of Representative.
Yeah.
To me, proper House of Representative, when you call, they have to be available. We shouldn't be on the streets and live on the street, literally. Yeah. Stay on the street, what, 6-7 nights until we get a response.
Yeah.
As a people who lives here, if we want to reach our House of Representative, it shouldn't be that hard.
Of course.
Because they have to be here because they're being elected because of people.
They represent us. Yeah.
And
it's kind of the other way around. Yeah. They think like we work for them, but in all reality, they work for the people. That's the...
Well, that's American politics to you. That's
I mean, we try to stay away from politics, obviously, as much as we can.
Yeah.
And we should.
Yeah.
We must. Because us talking about Armenian politics, it's a big no-no.
Yeah.
First of all, we don't live there.
Yeah.
Second of all, there's no politics here.
Yeah. And one more thing, it's a human issue. I'd like to mention, every one of us, we have our own organizations, nonprofit organizations, our own businesses. Mm-hmm. We're regular people.
Yeah.
But we don't promote our companies. We don't do anything here. This is not about promotion.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Or PR, right?
Yeah, or PR. This is exactly like our cause is like the Artsakh. And 120,000 people, they're in a blockade, which is, in 21st century, it's hard for me to digest even.
It's unacceptable.
Of course.
Like, you know, we're not in 1800. We're like 2023. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what was... one thing I can share that I experienced over there, I was in Syunik, and when I saw the trucks going, I had no idea what was going on. I didn't have service, so I didn't know what was happening. And when I saw those trucks going, all of a sudden this feeling came where I'm like, oh my God, they're opening it. It's happening. It's happened. I didn't know because, you know, it was just like so random. And then all of a sudden they're like, nope, not happening. You know, the minute I got back to Yerevan and I had service, I could, you know, see what was happening. And, but that slight moment, that feeling of, hey, my brothers and sisters are about to have aid, you know, but then again, the bad news, it's, it's a very, I mean, the emotional roller coaster that I went through over there and seeing the people, seeing what they go through on a daily basis. But you mentioned something. We don't live there, so we shouldn't get involved in the politics. But
never.
At the same time, I think, you know, I've got criticized for saying, well, you don't live here. Your opinion doesn't matter. That's not true. You can guide people. You can guide by life experience, by ideas and things like that. But again, you know, I don't get involved in politics, but I have the right as an Armenian to say, hey, what you're doing is wrong.
We do have the right as an individual to raise an
of
opinion.
Course, as a human.
As a human.
Yeah.
But when it comes to collective work, we were opening one of these nonprofits and we were talking about the structure. I said, look, I don't care if they're from any political party. I don't care who they support.
Yeah.
We're going to keep the platform just Armenian.
Yeah.
If you're Armenian, regardless of, I have my views.
Yeah.
I'm a human. I have my views. I have my opinions.
Of course.
But I don't express it in a group.
Yeah.
Because everyone has different views. And if we start talking about it, we're going to get divided even more.
Of course.
Not to have a division. Everyone needs to understand, we put away all the flags.
Yeah.
And we just have one flag, and that's our Armenian flag.
Yeah.
And we unite around our flag and our just by being Armenian. That's it.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's it.
Yeah. That's all it is. And you know, you talk about division. We also have division here between Armenians, which is very sad. So again, the point of this is, and what you guys are doing is, let's put everything aside. Unite, and you guys have united. You have different Armenians from different backgrounds in your group.
In our group, we have different ages.
Yeah,
Armenians from different part of the world.
Yeah,
even from with different political views.
Okay,
but we never talk about it.
Yeah,
but from the very first meeting, we decided no politics. We just respect and love, and we're Armenians. That's it. But we get along. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
We've never had issues. We always, it's healthy to have discussion. But at the end of the day, we always agree on one thing. We stand by Artsakh.
Yeah.
And whatever we do the best interest of Artsakh.
Yeah.
If it doesn't fit the best interest of Artsakh, obviously we don't.
Of course.
But that's the only way we can all work together.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I'm telling you, we're all different.
Of course.
We're all different.
So many ways.
And that's
the
so
beauty.
Many ways.
That's the beauty of
organically
diaspora.
Organically different. Yeah. Our little group, I want to say we represent the entire diaspora. And I'll tell you why. Because we have a representative from each, right? Each type of diasporans. We represent a small diaspora.
Yeah.
And we want to set an example. Look, we're all different here. But we stand strong for one cause, that's Armenia and Artsakh.
Yeah.
That's what the rest of the world, Armenians and the rest of the world, they need to do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Something about Artsakh. We have somebody who is talking about learning about the history of Artsakh. We did an episode with Dr. Gevork Nazarian in our first season, and he is a very knowledgeable man. You guys all know him. He's been on the show multiple times. Go watch that episode or listen to it, and you will learn so much about the history of Artsakh and how important it is. Artsakh has always been part of Armenia. Artsakh has played a big role in so many historical periods. There's another episode I recommend watching, which is with Ruben Galician, who is an amazing man. And we did a show about the historical maps of Armenia, and every map, and I'm talking about dating back when they first started making maps. I mean, maps where, you know, you just see Armenia, Syria, and the Artsakh is always there.
Oh yeah, it's been always a part.
So for me, I don't care who it is. I believe no foreign government, even our own government, has the right to decide what indigenous people, which are the Artsakh people, the Armenians from Artsakh, how they get to live, where they get to live. And that's where the human issue comes in.
Yes.
And that's what it's about. And we're going to mention this. It's a human issue. It's a human struggle.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And again, I don't care about the government. I don't care about the politics. We need to unite. And before I get to that, can you guys kind of talk about, I know you guys got a lot of heat about this when you guys blocked the freeway, the 134s.
That was amazing, though.
It was amazing.
Amazing.
And I'm proud of, and I know a lot of people don't agree with it because they felt that you guys were, you know, inconveniencing some people. But you know what? You can inconvenience anybody for a couple of hours. It's fine to bring awareness to the good cause. But how did that come out? Can you guys kind of walk through that whole process, what you guys went through and everything? I wish I was here. I wasn't, but tell people what you guys experienced, what it was like. And then from there, deciding to go to do the blockade at the Azerbaijan consulate and what kind of I don't know if they did anything kind of like towards you guys, you know, just.
Yeah, we've had someone there.
Okay.
Well, originally, do you want me to go or you want to?
Whoever.
Okay. Well, originally we started in Burbank in front of Adam Schiff's office. I mean, Adam Schiff, he's always been great. And for the past 20 years, he's done a lot for Armenia. A lot. I can't deny that. We did send a letter, email to him with everything that we would like to ask and maybe, you know, meeting, but we haven't heard from him. And we're like, you know, it's time to get up and hit the streets again. So we started the protest in front of his office. Mm-hmm. We spent it with five nights.
Yeah.
The sixth night that I went over. Which night did we do the freeway? Was it the fifth? The last night? No.
The sixth. We went to Artsakh Street to as a symbolic action. And then from there on, we organized to go to...
We've been on a street for so many days, I forgot which day was the freeway.
And one more thing about that, like, you know, we always, while we're doing the protest, we always had the contact with Artsakh. Mm-hmm. And lots of, I can't tell how many families they contacted to us. They're, thank you for not, you know, leaving us. You know, we believe in you. So when you have that spirit and you really want to, you know, raise awareness, of course you go that extra mile.
Of course.
And that's what we did. But one more thing I want to really mention that it's very, very important. Even though we closed, like, you know, 134, we always had one line open for families, emergency, children, emergency line. So we do respect what's going on in our society. But at the same time, we go that extra mile. It's a little radical in a way. But, you know, if we have to do something to raise awareness that people can really watch us, it's time.
Yeah.
We have so many news channels here.
Yeah.
And they're ignorant. You know, it just... I can't understand that. Like, how much can you cover up?
Civil disobedience. Yeah. That's what it's
about.
So
we did, but at the same time, like, you know, we kept one line. So, you know, people could go through. If, you know, we met many families with children inside, you know, of course, you know, we just let them go. Yeah. Of course, no question.
So August 9th, I was just checking the date.
Yeah.
We've been on street so many days.
I think the criticism from our own people is, you know, we have this thing in Armenians at Amot Bara, which... comes from, my God, you can go back centuries where we've been conditioned amota, and not to inconvenience your neighbor or anything of that sort. But you being an activist, you stood up during the Black Lives Matter situation. Yes. That was a human situation. So we keep thinking that, you know, why would an American or a Hispanic or anybody care about what's happening, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away? But then, you know, what if when there's something going on and they're protesting, we assist them, we help them, we stand for their human rights. We're part of the
society.
That's the beauty of America.
But we've had Otars joining us, like others, non-Armenians joining us. At the front.
Latinos join us too. Like many people join us.
There's so many people. And you know what? It was interesting. While we were at the office,
Greek people join us.
In front of the office, Adam Schiff. We've had so many non-Armenians just stopping by and we had conversations. This woman, she stopped. I had at least like 5 people an hour conversation with each one, educating, like, why are you guys here? And I tell the story. I come from 1915 and I end at 2023 genocide. So they're like, oh my God, really? So what are they doing about this? So people are interested to find out. It's just you need to educate them.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to educate first our own, second, non-Armenians.
Yeah.
And it is very unfortunate that we do need to educate our own, but in a way, you know, we're patient.
Of course.
I'm still waiting for my people to come out. I love Armenians. I have a saying. I always say in Armenian, yes, sirum em mez. That's my slogan.
Yeah.
I love us.
Yeah.
And then one woman's like, why us? I'm like, when I say us, I'm in it too. When I say I love you, I'm not there.
Yeah.
So I love us and I want us to stand together.
Yeah.
But we need to bring awareness. Like freeway closure was amazing. And you know what? If it was inconvenient for someone, how about the kids that are starving in Artsakh and they have no food? We've been talking to the families almost every day. And one of the lives we've had while the protest, she said, we only have 2 cups of rice to cook and some buckwheat and some potatoes the neighbor gave us. I'm like, I paused. I didn't know what to say.
What do you say?
No, you can't say anything. You can't.
Yeah.
And then I look around and I see 300, 400, 500, amazing. Whoever came, by the way, thank you everyone, but 500 Armenians in LA where we have close to, with census, we're like 1 million, without census more.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
And when you think about it, like, we're not complaining about, you know, the basic stuff. We're talking about the human life.
Yeah.
And in America, we go to work, we come home. Mm-hmm. Okay, we spend time with our children, we watch movie and so on and on, right? We have social life, this and that. But we're talking about the human lives, 120,000. And at the same time, this blockage is so dangerous. This is insane what can happen. Because the outcome of that, I want to say one thing, like the courage and the bravery approach they have, the Artsakh people in Artsakh.
Yeah.
120,000 people, 8 months. If here we don't have food like 1-2 days, you know, we'll handle it, you know, differently.
Yeah.
But then when there's 8 months, people are going through all this hard time and they're literally directly and indirectly they're demanding self-determination.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, every single Armenian that is today is in a home, that is in a comfort zone, they have to put their comfort zone on the side and say, you know, this is for my country. This is for my land. This is for my heritage. This is Artsakh representing our Armenian ethnicity.
Yeah,
because Artsakh Armenian is the safety. Same. Safety is what's more important now.
So that's why, like, you know, it's priority right now to get up and then, you know, like, you know, really do the protest. And anytime we organize anything new, so we'll unite. We'll be united, and then we address this, you know, more like
Just to add to that, imagine after the freeway closure, we went to Azerbaijani consulate, right? And we call it a blockade for a blockade.
Yeah.
We were every night, well, at nights we had more people, but overnight we've had 15 to 20 overnight staying. Just imagine if we had 10% of diaspora in LA standing.
5,000, 6,000, 10,000.
Standing with us. 6 nights. Blockading the entire building where not only we have Azeri consulate, we have another 7 countries. Can you imagine what kind of protest,
what kind of awareness
and what kind of message, massive message you would have create? So when everyone asked me, what the protest do? I'm like, you need to come to find out. You need to come to create the message. If you're not there with me standing, I can't catch the helicopter's attention by just one person standing there.
Of course.
If we're standing 10,000 of us, we've had 10 of helicopters flying.
What is it, guys? What is it? What is it that we can't get people to commit? Our people? I personally cannot. Listen, I'm, you know, one of those people where I've missed a few of those things, but there's a reason why we're here now. We're trying to bring everything together.
Yeah, we need to talk about this. We need to analyze.
Again, the excuse we hear is, we have kids. It doesn't work with our schedule.
I have 3 kids.
Yeah.
I have 3 kids. I haven't been home for 12 days. If
there
I can't do it, I think others can.
What it is people don't, like, they think that couple of hours when they come there, you know, you're not asking for them to give up their lives.
No, let's take shifts. I was saying, come
switch.
Support us at night because we've had this committed 10 to 20 young and David's age, obviously. They were supervising the kids. We never left them alone. But you should see these young These are our future.
Yeah.
These kids are our future. If you don't teach them now how to stand up and fight, we're going to lose an entire generation.
Yeah. Well, the biggest other problem we have is a lot of people don't know our own history.
Exactly.
They don't know the struggles that our culture has gone through. So when you try to tell them, even about the genocide, a lot of people don't know, our own people don't know the details of the genocide. They just hear genocide, 1915.
If you ask them,
how did it start? Why did it start? What took place? How did all this stuff happen? Most of them don't know. So it's very sad. So we need to educate them about it.
Exactly.
And for them to understand that what happened then, how it started, is pretty much happening right now with Artsakh.
And it never ended.
It's the movie's repeating.
Yeah.
And it's the same agenda, same protocol that they're going
through. Yeah.
Everything's we need to educate our youngsters to understand what it is. Not just go out there and yell genocide 1915 never and again. That's not going to do anything. Understand what you're fighting for.
Yeah.
And the reason you are in a diaspora, the reason we have a diaspora is because of that genocide.
Yeah. I'm a direct descendant of genocide.
There you go. We all are. And the reason why we have two dialects is because of the genocide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't understand this. There's a divide between Western Armenian, Eastern Armenian. Well, they did it. That was their goal. They divided us with our own language.
Yes.
So there's so much involved here and people need to understand this. But what I'm going to do is, Mike's here, he's waiting to join us, but I wanted to mention something. When I was in Armenia, we'll get back to the protests and everything. When I was in Armenia, I was, when I was traveling, I met a few people who were actually, they were involved, they were part of the war, the 44-day war, and they came up with this amazing program where they train young kids from like 14, 15, 16, 17 who are going to end up going to the military. And what they do is they train them to be ready soldiers already. So when they get there, the Armenian military itself doesn't have to worry about these kids because they're ready to go. The title of their organization is BOGA. And I met there, I traveled with him actually. And I just wanted to show a quick video about them. And they are trying to raise funds right now for a vehicle that's going to help them during times where they themselves go as volunteers to fight, to be able to get to the mountains. So I wanted to show this video real quickly. Mike, you ready to join us soon? Yeah?
Yes,
all right, give me a second. Hey, everyone. I am here at BOGA. BOGA is a training center where they train young kids, both boys and girls, from the age of 14 all the way up to 18, to basically be ready when they go to the army. As you know, in Armenia, it is mandatory to serve in the army from the age of 18 for 2 years. So this is a great center. I've met these guys through another friend, and they're doing some great work and helping these kids to basically be ready when they get there. And that actually helps the army itself, so they don't have to waste more time on trying to train them to become good soldiers. They're already ready. So I want to introduce you guys to the founder of BOGA. Now I'm going to speak in Armenian and we'll put subtitles in the bottom, so you guys can understand what he is saying. All right, so this is Onik Baboyan. He is the founder of BOGA. He's an amazing human being. We have actually traveled together, and he was a volunteer during the 44-day war. He has a lot of experience, and he is the one who trains these young kids to be ready for the army. Onikjan, mikish kapatmes bogan vortuts notot tsanvets et mitke u incherek minchev esora arel kartsam apogan arte 2 tarekan a
bogan
ha
կարծեսքն 44-ը պատերազմից հետո է հիմնվել է։ Պատերազմի մասնակից կամավոր ընկերներով վերադարձել ենք ու հիմնել ենք առիթը, նպատակը նաև այն է, որ պետք է բոլորը ոնց որ մենք կամավոր մասնակցեցինք պատերազմում շատ հարցերում անպատրաստ, որ պետք է ինքները սովորեն, կրթվենք ու ստեղծենք մի հարթակ, որտեղ որ մեր հայրենակիցները կարող են գան, հավաքվեն, իրենց պարապեն, որ կարողանան մարտի դաշտում ավելի ճիշտ կողմնորոշեն, ճիշտ կրվեն, պատրաստ լինեն։ Արդեն 2 տարուց ավելա գործում է ՊՕԿ-ն։ Առաջին անգամ որպես միավորում ջերմուկի դեպքերին 2022 թվականին մասնակցել, արդեն ինքը որպես միավորում իր ճոկատի կազմով շարունակաբար մասնակցում ենք դիրքերի հայերենի պաշտպանության թե համաշինական աշխատանքների թե պաշտպանությանը մասնակցում ենք։ Հիմա այդ դասընթացներ ենք իրականացնում, երամսա դասընթացներ, ճամբարներ, արշավներ ենք ունենում, այդպես։
Okay. Հիմա գիտեմ, որ մենք երբ որ խոսում ենք, դու ձեր նպատակի հիմա ավելի շատ երիտասարդները 14-ից մինչև 18 տարեկան, բայց ով էլ ուզենա, որպես ինքը պատրաստ լինի, եթե ոնց որ ասեմ, հայրենիքը կանչի, իրան պետք է, տարիքը կապ չունի, դու բոլորին ընդունում ես։
Այո, հիմնական էլ կարևոր նպատակներից նկարներից հենց այնպես է, որ նախազորակոչային տարիքի տարիքի դասակներով դիգնան բանակ, այսինքն գան, պատրաստվեն, սովորեն, արդեն իսկ պատրաստի գնան բանակ, դա հեռանկարն է, որ պիտի ունենա դպրոցը ծառայի այդպես, իսկ այս պահին դրությամբ էլ բոլորս հասկանում ենք երկրի վիճակը, շատ կարևոր է, որ յուրաքանչյուրս պատրաստ լինենք մեր կրվի որևէ լինելու, անխուսափելի է։
Դու ինձ պատմեցի, որ արդեն ահագին երիտասարդներ կան, որը ձեր ոնց որ տրեյնինգից հետո արդեն բանակում են, իրանք շատ գերազանց են բանակում, մի քանի օկի են ընդունվել են
Վազգես
Սարգսյան, մի քիչ կարաս պատմես դրա մասին։
Արդեն ունեն երիտասարդներ, որ համարել են բանակի շարքերը, բավականին տարբերվում են, ինքս տեսել եմ, լսում եմ, ովս նաև ասում են մարդիկ, որ արդեն իսկ պատրաստի տեղ են տվել բանակին, նաև ունեն երիտասարդներ, որ իրանց չեմ պատկացել, որ կդառնան զինվորական, բայց հաճախել են, մասնակցել են դասընթացներին, ու այսօր Վազգես Սարգսյանը ընդունվել, որ վաղը կդառնան ապագա մեր սպաները կլինեն, կկրթեն, ոչ ճիշտ ձևով կկրթեն, իսկական հայրենասեր ոգով ու հայրենիքի նվիրումով կկրթեն։
Ես պատկերացնում եմ քո հպարտությունը ինչ
է։ Այդ դա մեծ բան է, այդ մեր ամենամեծ ձեռքբերումն է։ Ես համարում եմ, ունենք շատ այդպիսի բանը կրնեն։
Շատ լավ։ Հիմա ՊՕԿ-ն ինչ պլաններ ունի ապագայի համար, ինչ աշխատանքների վրա է, ոնց որ ասում են, ավելի շատ concentration-ը, որ ասենք, ինչ նոր պրոգրամներ կան, որ դուք աշխատում եք։ Ու մի երկրորդ հարցն էր անվնասնեմ, ՊՕԿ-ն երբ է սկսում ձեր տրեյնինգները, ինչ ձևի դասեր կան, ասենք, եթե մեկ ուզում է գա ՊՕԿ-ին միանա, կարաս ու չտրա
մասին։ Երամսյա են մի դասերը հիմնականում լինում, երկամի շաբաթական երեք օրով, որտեղ որ սովորում ենք ֆիզիկական, տակտիկական վարժություններ, մարտավարություն, առաջընթացություն, քարտեզագրում, ալպինիզմ, կրակային պատրաստություն, գոյատևման դասընթացներ, ունենում ենք 10 օրը հավաքներ ավելի արագացված են լինում, դա հիմնականում արագ կազմակերպում ենք, երբ որ Շոնիվան լինում, որ արագ սահմանը պետք գնալ, հիմնականում դա մեծ խմբերի համար է լինում, ճամբարներ ենք ունենում, նաև ռազմաշարեր ենք ունենում, անտարբեր պայմաններում ենք այդ ամեն ինչը կազմակերպում, ովքեր որ ցանկանում են 15 տարեկանից բարձր սկսած բոլորի համար աղջիկ
15
տարեկանից բարձր տարեկան աղջիկների եւ տղաների համար կարող են հաճախել դասընթացներին անվճարեն։
Շատ լավ։ Մարդիկ, եթե ուզում են ձեզ օգնեն, գումար, որտեղ դուք NGO եք, չէ՞, NGO-ն ասելով անգլերեն, it's a non profit organization. Yet ոնց կարան ձեզ օգնել, որտեվ ես գիտեմ հիմա դուք նոր մի հատ project-ի վրա որ ուզում եք ավտոմեքենա գնեք, որը կարող է ասենք այդ սարերը բարձանա, շուտ հասցնի զինամթերքը, մի քիչ դրա մասին։
Այս պայմանությամբ մեքենայի դրամահավաք ունենք մեքենա ձեռքբերելու համար, որը որ կծառայի նաև ճոկատի կազմում, որ ցամանենք մեքենան, համապատասխան մեքենա չունենք բարձրանալու վերև, որը կարիք շատ զգացել են ջերմ ու դեպքերի ժամանակ։ Հիմա հավաքում ենք, երևի շուտով արդեն կհավաքենք բանջի մնացել։ Այս ծրագրից այդ պետք է մեքենա ձեռք բերենք, նոր ծրագիր ունենք, քանի որ զենքի օրենքը նոր է, շրջանառությունը արդեն ընդունեցի, որ կարող են զենք ձեռք բերել, այն ժամանակ մի քիչ դժվար էր ունենք, բայց քիչ էր, հիմա մենք մերը պիտի ունենանք, արդեն ճիշտ կազմակերպել, մեր ընկերներն են օգնում, մեր հայրենակիցներն են օգնում, մենք ինքներս էլի բոլորս են ունեցում։ Միասնական ձևով փորձում ենք բոլոր խնդիրները լուծենք։
Շատ լավ, շատ
լավ դասստացած։
Ինչ կասես մեր սպյուրքահայերին, որ սա նայելու են։ Ինչ խորհուրդ կտաս կամ ինչ մեսեջ կտաս իրանց։
Ամենակարևորն է չհիասթափենք երբ հասկանում նիաստապությունը, որ բոլորն են ապրում, մենք ինենք նույնպես ապրում ենք այդ ամեն ինչը, ամեն մեկս մեր ձև, մեր տեղում, մեր գործ անելուց ենք ապրել, պետք չի ասենք ով որտեղ որ պահին, մեկս խրամատում ապրեց, մեկս դիվանին նստած ապրեց, մեկը հեռուստատեսի կողմն, մեր հայրենիքն է, պարտավոր ենք կանգնենք, մեջքի ուսուսի, չգիտեմ, միտե ներելով, միտե զիջելով, միտե հասկանալով, միտե լսելով, միտե դավերը անելով իրար մեկս մյուսին։ Միանշանակ կողմ եմ, որ ինչ ցանկացած քայլ, ցանկացած ներդրում, ժամանակ որ ծախսվում է, ֆինանս ծախսվում է, թո մեր եղբայրները հետևողաբար լինեն ամեն ինչին, ու ինքը հաստատ կհասնի իր ճիշտ տեղը, ճիշտ հասցեատերի տիրոջը, ու այդ ամեն ինչը կկատարվի ճիշտ ձևով։
Okay. Շատ լավ, ապրես։ So everybody, we'll put the link how to support Polga, whatever you can, any small amount will help. Like I said, they're working on the project, which is to raise money to get that vehicle and then plus the weaponry that they'll need. Again, this is a great organization. I've learned a lot about them. So if you are interested, you can click on the link and support Polga. Onik, shnorakalem. All right, everybody. So that was a video with Polga organization. Again, as you saw, they do amazing work training these youngsters to be ready for the military. And they also train regular folks who just want to be ready. I mean, that's one thing he mentioned, that our Armenians, especially living in Artsakh and living in Armenia, you need to be ready. You never know when war is coming. So it's very important, because that was one of the biggest problems we had, was people, volunteers going out of shape, who didn't know how to fight, didn't know how to fire the weapons properly. That's a big thing.
So, not only that, they didn't know the geographic location.
Are they functioning alone, or are there other organizations like this?
There's other ones, but they're on their own. They do their own thing. They put their own money into it. By the way, welcome back, Mike. Everybody, Mike Balian, he's finally here. If you guys can scan that QR code, it'll take you to the website. We donated on behalf of Medhead Osner. We donated.
Saying no sound? No sound?
No sound? No sound.
Oh, there we go.
We're back.
All right.
Okay, guys. Sorry.
All right,
we
take two.
Take two. All right,
take
Mike,
two.
Mike is back.
What I was asking was, are there other organizations that are functioning like them, and is this kind of like sparking some sort of movement with?
Yes, there's other ones. There's one that's called Tigran Meds. There's one that's called.
It's not a bad name.
There's one
Voma,
that's called,
right?
Voma. Yeah,
yeah,
they're all doing
an amazing job.
Yeah, they're independent on their own, and they fund it themselves.
Like I said, this project, they're trying to raise money. They on behalf of Medical Center, we donated $500, and they have another, I think, 2,000 left to be able to have the funds to purchase this vehicle. It's very important. During the Jedmuk situation, they were there fighting, and one of the biggest problems they had was trying to get weaponry through those mountains. I mean, if you've been to Jedmuk, you know what it's
like. We have fortified the Jedmuk posts for months.
We're
going to
talk
already.
About that. Yeah. So you guys know how difficult it is to get up there. So, again, scan that QR code, help if you can, any amount, guys. It could be $5, $10, $20, or whatever your heart desires. Help them out. We're doing that as well. So, Mike's back, so I have some assistance now with so I can produce the show easier.
Yeah, bro. But, give me the other paddle. Let's go.
There is, yeah. So let's get back to talking about once you did the blockade for blockade, six nights, people staying over, like you talked about the young kids helping you guys out. What was the result? Can we talk about that?
Well, actually, we saw the results after the freeway closure, and it kind of carry on to the blockade. For blockade, as a Azerbaijani consulate, we were able to meet with Adam Schiff after the freeway closure in-person meeting. Very productive meeting. That was one of the big wins we've had. Yeah. One of our team members, Gurgen, met with him in person. They've discussed a lot of the issues. And after that, he released an amazing letter, very, very strong. I don't know if you guys read it. It's on SoCal's page if you guys want to go read it. It's amazing. It talks about all the points. It's directed to President Biden. And we kind of use that letter as a sample, and we're talking to other politicians and elected officials. Be like, look, this is a sample. It won't hurt to do, you know, more letters, because more letters, more pressure. So that was big win. We've had all other politicians contacting. Paul Krikorian came up. Arjun Azarian came. Ardy is always with us. The mayor of Burbank. It's like we saw a lot of movement and a lot of politicians starting approaching and talking about it, opening a door. And as we were talking, like, look, I think the time came that we work side by side. We don't need to do this. I don't want
to
do this.
Yeah,
I don't
want to. We don't need to do this.
No,
to get your
honestly don't want to spend nights sleeping on the streets when my kids worry at night. Like, where are you, mom? You know, we don't want to do this. We're professionals. We're not street people. But if the time came to do that, then hey, civil disobedience. That's what we need to do. We're all going for it. So we saw great results after the freeway closure, and then one day we spent on Artsakh Street just to regroup and plan our next move, and we decided what else. If not the Azeri consulate, they're the ones who blockade it. So we went with the message, blockade for blockade. And we took the entire front of the building. I want to pay attention to this. All these years we've done protests by Azeri consulate, many years. We were never able to go up to the stairs in front of the door and protest there. Never.
Oh, that area.
Never. That area was always blocked. So,
yeah,
but
I remember.
We put the tent. We put our chairs, speakers. We're like, that's it. We're here.
Proper
we
invasion.
We close the doors. Yeah. We put all the signs on their doors. Genocide. Silence is genocide. A lot of messaging. And we actually stood there and we're like, this entrance is closed. Go around if you want to. Obviously, they never came to work. I think they never came to work. But
was that on a Sunday night?
We started.
Because the blockade was on a Friday night. Was it not? If I remember correctly.
We started at Adam Schiff's that Sunday night, and then we were there 5 days. One day regroup, and then August 9 was the freeway. So I would say August 10 we started blockade for blockade. We've had media there. They came. But what I saw after this movement, a lot of other diaspora communities, like in different worlds, they started reaching out. They've been using our flyer without our permission, obviously, but it's okay. I mean, if you want to start a movement and just go out there and scream like we did in different part of the world, please do.
Inspiration.
Please do. But just yell the right message. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see we woke up a lot of Armenians around the world, which was amazing. It's still from Lebanon, Kazakhstan, Australia, London, New York recently. There's so many. Brazil. There's so many. I can't remember the names, but amazing. And one of the nights while we were at the Zaire consulate, we made all this. I'm sure you guys know of the UN meeting, the emergency meeting they've held. So we prepared all this poster saying stop genocide.
Yeah.
And we went to France, right?
Yeah.
UK, China, in front of them, and we just put those big banners there and asking them, please, just stop genocide.
Yeah.
Just stop Artsakh genocide.
That's kind of what I wanted to ask you next is, okay, you got the attention of local councilmen, councilwomen, right?
Yes.
What in your, so far, what you guys know, what's reached the international community or international councilwomen, councilmen, or whatever their title may be? Have you guys gotten any pull from that?
Nothing from them yet.
Yeah.
From our local politicians, we asked for a press release. Mm-hmm. I was talking to, we were the team entire. We were talking to Paul Kerkorian, and I reminded him about 2020. I'm sure you guys remember he did it, this yes. whole nice press conference in front of the city hall. So mm-hmm. I'm like,
yeah.
It's time for us to have one now because this is urgent. And we had one yesterday, actually, and Pan Armenia put it together. We were very grateful. We were there. It's awareness. I mean, there's only a few politicians, and you know, there's only so much they can do. But there are all the other 435 of them besides Adam Schiff and Brett. There's so many of them. We need to go. If we physically need to go after each one, I told him I'm ready.
Well, listen, California's got what 53?
Yeah,
53 or 54, something like that, right? We have
it's still a small number, but we have another 400. If we have to go one by one, Dave, we're ready, right?
Yeah, we've been talking about that.
Yeah, we've been planning this. Yeah. So this movement is not going to stop. It's going to go bigger and bigger and bigger. We're planning something for this Saturday, but I'm not going to say anything right now.
Because we're in the process of
Because it's in the process. Yeah, and like we didn't announce freeway until last minute because we don't want
to. That was another question I wanted to ask is how long before you guys managed to organize
that? Well, we knew ahead of time what we were doing, but we don't mention it. We just put on a flyer destination to be announced.
Yeah.
Because we don't because we don't want to get there freeway and the streets are blocked before we even get there. So, and believe it or not, when we do rally, like we did rally from the church to different locations, it's amazing as we drive with the flags and, you know, with this, like a lot of people come from the streets and they start joining us. And we let's say we drive with 30 cars and then we end up with like,
I'm going to be late for dinner. I'm sorry.
That's what happens when we were going to Kenyatta's house actually.
Yeah, the first
streets,
one
people
we did.
Just join us, you know.
From the
get the bail money together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're ready for
cares?
Everything.
Let's
Listen, in all reality, we are ready for everything.
Yeah, let's go.
We even made this video. Some of us said we're ready to get arrested. Hey, you know, if they can go and took stuff from YSL store and just walk away. I mean, I think we could get away by closing the freeway at this point.
Valid point. Very valid point.
So, that's how much we're all motivated. And there is no personal agenda. There is no politics. I love our group, the way they're so devoted. And it's just the fire is inside. And now I see the fire in diaspora. I mean, I want to see a little more. I think it's coming. We just can't stop.
Yeah, it's a slow pace, but I'm seeing it as
snowball effect.
Yeah, it's like it's gonna
it's
picking
up
in the next few weeks, hopefully sooner, it's gonna pick up really fast because I think people are realizing that you said every day counts now. Yeah. And every day we're getting news from Artsakh where you're just like, I can't believe this is enough.
No,
enough
this,
is this enough.
People are strong. They're amazing. Amazing. We talk to them on daily basis. Like I spoke with, I don't want to mention names last night. No names. Yeah.
Let's talk about what they're saying. From
regular people to a little higher up. Doesn't matter whoever they're like, we're not going to give up. This is our land. This is Armenian. We're Armenians. We'll survive. And you know what they told me? Don't worry. We'll be fine. We're just watching you guys and by seeing you guys out there fighting for us and we feel your presence like right next to us. It gives us strength to survive another day. Yeah. I'm getting goosebumps as I'm talking, but these people are amazing. people. I mean, know, my Armenians, my Artsakhs.
Yeah, you know that feeling like when you know people are cheering you on and you know people have your back.
They keep us going.
It makes you powerful.
It makes us going and going and going any further and doing everything possibly to just to give them that hope. You know, when they watch on our Instagram, they're following us everywhere. They're like watching all the lives. They're like, by seeing you guys out there and yelling Artsakh, Artsakh, we feel your presence here and we know we're not alone. And one of the guys I spoke with, they sent us a video. He at the end of the video, he's like, please don't leave us alone. He's speaking in Armenian, but as I was listening, that please don't leave us alone. I'm like, how can we? How can we?
Yeah.
We're not going to leave them alone. No, we're standing with them very strong till the end. And we're not going to stop fighting. I'm very optimistic. I think we're going to win this one at least.
Yeah. Hey, that's the goal, right? You have to be optimistic.
That's the goal, right? Yep. I mean, otherwise, what are we doing on the streets? Yeah. We want to fight and win the fight.
Yeah. So, hey, you might have some ups, you might have some downs, but optimism is the only, and hope, that's what's going to make you, at the end of the day, get to that finish line to your goal, right? So you can't give up.
Never.
Now, real quickly, one of the main reasons why we wanted to do this also is to promote tomorrow. There's a protest happening from the Azerbaijan consulate on Wilshire all the way to the UN building, correct?
Federal building.
Federal building, sorry.
Yes.
Federal building. Let me bring up that flyer real quick.
Yeah, this is a good subject to talk about because...
Yeah, this is the flyer. So this is put together by AYF West. AYF stands for Armenian Youth Federation. These are the young kids. And again, they're organizing, but doesn't matter if it's AYF West, East, North, South. Doesn't matter what political thing. It's just this is their organization. They're doing it together and we're supporting it.
Yes, we are.
Anush is supporting it. Yes, Davide is supporting it. Everybody's supporting it. We're going to be there at 6 o'clock. So if you're in the LA area, I understand it's Friday. You want to get home from work, whatever. Leave work early. Go over there. Grab your kids. Go over there. It doesn't matter. Everybody, please, please, please show up. Let's show them what we did during the 2020 war and what we did during the 100th anniversary of the genocide.
Oh my God, do I want to see that result I posted on my Instagram. Can we do this?
I think we can. We need people to show up. So again, you guys
spread the word.
Yeah, spread the word. It's 6 p.m. Tomorrow it starts at 6 p.m. We start at the address is right there, 11766 Wilshire Boulevard in LA, and we're gonna go all the way to the federal building, U.S. federal building.
And just to add to that quickly, you should never look at the flyer like who's doing it. Seriously, this is if it aligns with your beliefs, if you feel like this is what you need to do, if this that's the message that you support, you need to be there regardless. We need to stop like reading the lines like, oh, who organized it?
Yeah.
Armenians organized it, and that's it.
Yeah,
you like the messaging, you support the cause, you go.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
I know, we need to stop that.
We need to stop this nonsense.
The sects and the factions and whatnot, like that all, that nonsense needs to stop.
Factions are really, really annoying.
No, we can't do it. Like, I feel really bad. Like, they need to contact us. Like, can you guys come and support? Like, you don't need to ask. We're going to be there.
Yeah.
You don't need to ask. We are going to be there, regardless of organization or whatever. I believe in that cause. I want to support it. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And that's how it needs to be from now on.
Every Armenian supposed to think this way. I represent Armenia, diaspora, and Artsakh.
Mm-hmm.
Every Armenian. Mm-hmm. We cannot, you know, separate, say, okay, I'm Armenian from Iran, from Lebanon, from Syria. I live in Canada. I live in America. I'm not there. It's not related to me. I feel like every Armenian, if they ask, like, what is Artsakh for me? What is Armenia for me? What is Armenian diaspora means for me? If we can focus on this, you know, thing, and then if each person would ask themselves, like, what am I? What am I representing? What is my ethnicity? We should be more clear about, like, our demand, our understanding of what we inherited as an Armenian comparing to other nations. We do not have the advantages like other countries has.
Yeah,
but at the same time, we cannot say, okay, so we don't have those advantages, then let's just, you know, just be in a corner and then not to show our service.
Yeah,
where
become
we
are. A gypsy one day, right?
Yeah. No, we cannot agree with that. Like I stated on my speeches many times, I cannot comprehend, I cannot agree. And I don't think any good patriots of Armenia and Artsakh will agree to see Artsakh part of the Azerbaijan. We can't. And I can't, like,
it's unimaginable.
Exactly.
It's unimaginable. So
unacceptable.
The point I'm trying to make is, like, I think every human person, Armenian human person more, they should stand for what their ancestors fight for.
Yeah.
Since 1987, 1988, and more 1992, we had the most difficult time as an Armenian with the war, with everything Armenia was going through. But what did we do? As a united, we fought and we won the war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, we lost this one. However, it doesn't mean we lost everything.
Yeah. We lost the battle.
It's just a battle.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
But unfortunate battle, but battle nonetheless.
Yeah, but if every one of us, you know, we kind of take, you know, personal responsibility to stand up united and stand up with the Armenian values and understand and appreciate what our soldiers did, especially the last 5,000 young kids that died. They died so we can leave.
Yeah.
Now, they died so we can have Armenia and we can have Artsakh.
Mm. Can't let them down.
So if right now we don't do our part, then what do we do?
What do we tell our kids tomorrow?
Exactly. So that was the thing that, you know, we do what we do right now. And I think, like, it's every Armenian responsibility supposed to be in the home to teach their children, to teach their parents, their brother, their sister. Yeah. Like, this protest is not for political issues, political views. This protest is for Armenia.
To save Artsakh.
And I believe 10 million Armenian, if we could gather 1 million to stand up in the world and demand whatever they leave, the politicians, hey, look at the situation. This is 2023, we cannot have the third genocide with two related to Armenia. We cannot let this happen. Every one of us, we have responsibility for it.
If I can add to that, a lot of people forget, if you go back to the first genocide, before, like, everything started, the same thing was taking place, and our own ancestors, unfortunately, first of all, they didn't have social media. They didn't have the means to report, but they stood by and did nothing. And look what happened. And that's kind of the same thing. If we stand around and do nothing, a lot of people, you know, the hardest thing as a human being is to imagine what 120,000 is. We throw it around like a number, 120,000, 5,000, this, that. I always say, close your eyes and try to imagine 120,000 bodies.
Wish we could get that many people on the street and do a video.
Thank you. Imagine laying them down, right?
Yeah.
Well, a solid comparable would be one of the marches during a 44-day war.
Oh, we were 150-something. Yeah. So there you go. 30,000.
So imagine those drone shots, those helicopter the video, shots, right?
Yeah.
But think about that.
Here's the thing. The 5,000 boys that you mentioned, when I went to Yerablur and I did post a video, I know it's tough to watch, but if you can't watch it, I had a hard time filming it. But when it hits you and you realize, you see those flags, those faces and the dates and everything, it's just unimaginable.
And the beautiful faces, the young kids, young generation. Kids, I've been there too.
It's so overwhelming. And then you realize, oh my God, seeing the parents there, you know, there's parents who spend the night there.
Oh, I know, I've been there.
And it's, if you're ever in Armenia, every Armenian needs to go see that to understand what we lost and what these kids fought for. And like you said, we can't let them down.
We can't let them down.
I think every rational Armenian, if, you know, pause for a moment and thinks, like, picks one soldier that got killed in a war zone and kind of thinks, like, okay, this young kid got killed. What was his last thought and what was his last hope that the living people will do?
Yeah.
If they think like that,
mm-hmm.
then take personal responsibility because they're alive. Imagine if these people, if they didn't fight, if we didn't have these 5,000 soldiers in the war zone, they will be already in Yerevan.
Yeah.
So that means like now if we don't protect what we have, the next thing will be Sunik, and next thing will be Sevan. And then slowly we will lose what we have. Last 1,000 years, we've been losing our land from ocean to ocean Armenia. And what do we have? And this is like the most strategical locations we have right now. If we give this way, that means we don't have Armenia anymore. I don't believe we will have it. So that's why we cannot agree with this.
Yeah. We're going to have a few of your other team members join us here. We're going to have Robert and Alyosha, right? I'm saying that correctly.
Yes.
Alyosha is from Artsakh.
Yes.
Right? So as soon as they join, we'll bring him on and they can say a few words. Actually, it looks like Alyosha is ready. Let me take this off the screen. Oh, Robert's ready too. Who do we bring on first? You guys pick.
I can't. I,
bring them all.
It's one team, one family. Yeah. So.
All right. You know what? Robert, one of you, who wants to go first? Raise your hand.
Okay, Rob did.
Rob reacted.
Okay. All right, we'll bring Robert on. Go. Hey, Rob, can you hear us?
Yes, can you guys hear me?
Yes. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening, guys. Thank you for having me.
No problem. How are you?
Good. Very, very interesting topics you guys are covering, and thank you for having our team. Part of our team, we are about 13, 12 people, right, guys? 12
of us.
13, yeah. And one of the good things about this team is, guys, that, you know, it's very diverse. You know, before 2020, you would never get these people in the same room together because there's so many differences in opinions, affiliations. But you know, we came together after the blockade started, and the initiative was put forward by Alyosha, who's from Artsakh, we met at his office. It started with a very large group, and then there was a lot of people didn't kind of fit, and they didn't want to be there for the right reasons. So, you know, it came down to just a 13 of us, and that has remained the core group since December, January. So I'm very, very happy and privileged to be part of such a great group. You know, we have a doctor, we have a lawyer, we have a businessman, we have an activist, entrepreneurs. You know, so we have it's a very diverse group. We have members of, you know, 130-year-old organizations, Armenian organizations, and so it, you know, everybody brings different experiences, different. Life experiences and professional experiences and activism to the group, and we've been utilizing those resources for the past, you know, few months to really kind of wake up our diaspora, because the diaspora is asleep, and it's an intentional sleep. It's not like, you know, we try to make a lot of excuses for the diaspora, and we have to stop making those excuses. We make the excuses of, oh, 2020, oh, everybody is disappointed because they donated $2 to the Armenia Fund. That's an excuse. That's an excuse that you want to justify your inaction. If that's the case, every single one of us, including you guys who are doing this podcast, you know, shouldn't be doing this podcast, should be doing something else. If we all make that excuse, every single one of us can make that excuse. But it's an easy way just to say, okay, you know what? And I'm just going to go my merry way.
Yeah.
If you guys, you know, spend a few minutes with us when we're on Artsakh Street or somewhere else, when Armenian people pass by us, they look at us with disgust. Like our own people look at us with disgust. Like, what are you guys pathetic people doing on the street? You know, women were yelling at us when we're driving from Burbank to block off the freeway. They're looking at us with disgust. The cuss words they were using against us. Why? Because we've left our families, we left our jobs, we left our businesses, we left our livelihoods to do what? To fight for our people. We are a very result-driven race. We think if we go to one protest and the Lachin Corridor doesn't open, oh, what's up, Gnatsin? The same thing with the 2020 war. Some people bought sleeping bags, some people sent money, but they were looking for a specific result and they didn't get that result. They're like, okay, you know what, Cherov, we're going to go our merry way, because they were waiting for those guys who were ill-equipped, ill-experienced, outnumbered to win the great war for them. Because we always love celebrating wins, but not losses. And when the blockade started on December 14, 18 of us went to the Azeri consulate and we said, we're going to stay here tonight. We're calling on all of our brothers and sisters to come and join us in solidarity. This is not a one-day thing. This is going to go on, guys. This is the start. This is what the lobby, the Azeri lobby, came up with. That, hey, let's use eco-activism, which is a trendy topic around the world. You know, the Azeris are idiots. They don't come up with this. People in Washington, people in Boston, people in California, these high-power lobby firms come out with these messagings and these ideas and these projects. And we knew this was going to be a long-term thing, but everybody was just laughing it off. Oh, you're warmongering, and you guys are, you know, causing unnecessary panic. When I went to meet with the Western Diocese, the Prelacy, the ARS, they're like, oh, don't worry about it. It's a temporary thing. You guys are overreacting. And now, 9 months later, they come and do this grand gesture of having all these political people out there yesterday, and, oh, we're here. For 9 months, we were begging you. The people, 120,000 people, were begging you to be there.
Robert, think of it like this. You guys made this happen. It's because of you guys. So you got to look at the positive. And I get it.
Absolutely. And absolutely. You absolutely love, right, Vahejan. And we're happy we're able to do that wake-up call. And we're happy that a lot of these organizations felt overshadowed. That, you know, a bunch of people came together and started blocking off streets, sleeping in front of consulates, and give them the wake-up call that they needed. So that we're very happy about that. But what I don't want our community to feel or to understand or take away from these optics is that I don't want them to have false sense of hope or security. That, hey, look, 15 people showed up in front of the Azeri consulate for a 45-minute PR op, you know, a press conference, and then they just left with a virtual hunger strike. I don't want people to think, okay, look, now the diocese is involved, Schiff is involved, Sherman's involved. Now we don't have to do anything. Let's just sit and wait because the big boys are watching. So that's the biggest wake up call that we have to keep on pushing. Every single day we're trying to come up with different ideas. We're collaborating with different organizations because we cannot take our eye off the ball. We did that for 30 years, and look what happened. They became stronger. They became more united. While we drifted apart, while we, you know, focused on, you know, more irrelevant things, and look at the state of our country and Artsakh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're proud of everything you guys have done, and we're proud of you, Robert. Robert, you've been involved with a lot of this activism from day one. I mean, I came across your page during the war, and I've gotten to know you, and you're an amazing person who's done so much. A lot of people don't know how much this man has done for Armenia, for Artsakh. You guys put together the barricades that you guys donated to all the borders. Can you talk about that a little bit, that program you guys did?
Yes. And, Vahejan, you and I spoke when you were in Armenia. You know, I got a text in the middle of the night from Vahe, and I called him back within seconds. I said, you know, if he's there, he needs something. I called him, and, you know, we can't discuss here what was discussed and stuff, but you know, you saw firsthand how fast things move in Armenia and how fast we were able to get stuff done. And, you know, when you realized to be very transparent with you guys, I never wanted to be in this position. I never wanted to be in this position. But when the 2020 war started, I always had this misconception that there were these great Armenian powers looking out for our best interests in our community. That there were these, you know, billion dollars, you know, they're just huge people, smarter than me, more educated than me, and that they had this handled. And I was the person who actually just stand aside. When 2020 war happened and thereafter, I realized, dude, those people don't exist. That's all a facade. It's people like me, like you guys, who are spreading awareness every day, teaching everybody about, you know, the Armenian history. It's up to us, individual people like me, like you, like Anush, like David, like Alyosha, Google. It's people to, up to us to make it work in Armenia, to make a difference. And we started with little projects during the war, which, you know, we can't really discuss here. But what we do can discuss about the border project is that, you know, after the war, the Armenian government realized that, okay, dude, we need cheaper options to the blindaj, you know, it's called the blindaj now, like the trench systems and stuff. We need a cheaper option because every day we were losing positions. Now, you can't spend $100,000 on a concrete position and then they come and take over, like just like they did in September of 2022, and then you're lost and you give away a $50,000 or $100,000 position. So they wanted to look at what the U.S. was doing in Afghanistan, what Russia was doing in Artsakh when the peacekeepers came in. One of those things was the UNESCO barriers, which is a really great, cost-effective way of, you know, fortifying your positions. So, you know, we started talking to a number of manufacturers in Armenia, and we got it down from $40 to like I think it's like $16 or $17, and we started mass producing them. And I think between December when we started of 2022 until today, we've delivered almost 10,000 of them, and we've covered from Taush all the way to Yerask. So we've done the entire J. It looks like a J we've done. And now we also have more now in reserves, as you know, Vahijan, you and I spoke with some of the people and they said, hey, if they need it, call us, we'll deliver it. In addition to that, we deliver blocks, we help them build underground fortification in certain areas. We do sensors, so if enemies are approaching, there are sensors they put in, very simple $10 sensors from Amazon. You get an alert on your phone that somebody's, triggered a sensor, camera systems. I mean, just a lot of different stuff and other stuff that we can't discuss here.
I can't talk. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been a privilege for us to do that for our people in Armenia. And you know, when people always ask me, like yesterday, somebody approached me from a very powerful organization that said, "Which organization are you with?" I said, "I'm not with an organization." She said, "So who are you?" I said, "I'm Armenian." And she looked at me like I was an alien. And she's like, but you're dressed in a suit and tie. I said, I'm just coming from work. I'm like, what do you mean? If I'm in a suit and tie, I'm supposed to be part of an organization? And this is one of the biggest organizations that we have in our community. And she's like, well, I wanted to invite you to our office so we can talk. I'm like, so I can't come to your office because I'm not a part of an organization? And she was tongue-tied. Like, she didn't know how to answer back. I'm like, I want to come to your office, but I'm not part of an organization. I don't have a 501. I'm just an Armenian. And every single Armenian needs to learn to stop at that. When you say I'm Armenian, you stop. Stop. Don't label. Don't add a title. Don't add an organization. Don't add East or West, North, South. None of that stuff. Because that's what polarizes. That's what, you know, alienates us from one another. And when you just keep it as Armenian, just like we did with the 13 people that we have in our group, we kept it as Armenian. I don't care if you're from Dashnak Tichun. I don't care if you're Hinchak. I don't care. If your core goal is to stand next to our soldiers, stand next to our brothers and sisters in Armenia, in Artsakh, then we can't do wrong together. But once we start bringing in the party affiliations, we're divided.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing about what you guys did that I love and appreciate is the fact that you emphasize on the fact that this is about being Armenian. It has nothing to do with political ties. And I think it is resonating really, really well. I don't know why I see it. I have this feeling and I'm kind of like, I don't know if it's intuition or whatever it is.
Getting the energy.
It's like, it's coming. Like the snowball is coming. It's going to get bigger and bigger. And you guys cannot, get off course and keep preaching that it doesn't matter where you are from. If you are Armenian, like you said, North, East, West, AGBU, this, that, it doesn't matter. If you're Armenian and this matters to you, then you care. You need to be there. Yes. If you don't care, then you know what?
God bless.
Go enjoy your, you know, Horovats.
Before any political parties, agenda, political membership people had, they were Armenians.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Our ethnicity is Armenian, so we have to stand for that.
Yeah.
Well, I was labeled a lot of things, Dashnaks and this and that. And I'm like, really? Is that what you care about? I could be whoever you want me to be. Just come and stand with me because I'm Armenian at the end of the day.
Apparently, I'm a Nikolakam because I'm wearing Artsakh is Armenian.
We were called Kochanakam because we were eating pizza.
Artsakh is Armenian.
Well, it's okay. I think that's
like a common theme all across the globe.
Yeah.
With all that nonsense.
You know what's sad? That we're such a powerful, like Armenians, we have the greatest history. And we're like the most, I love us. And to label us with, I love this person or this person or this person, is just so beneath us. It's not us.
Yeah.
It's very low class of us. Like we shouldn't be loving a person like Nikolakan or Kochanakan. I'm like, come on, stop loving a person.
It's like right just, away from the
right?
label.
Yeah.
Like, right
it's
away
a
from
label.
The label.
Like,
yeah,
label.
Of course,
no,
that's all it
why
is.
Don't we just say, we're Armenians. I have an Armenian DNA. No matter what you do, it's in my vein.
Yeah.
It's in my vein until you cut my vein and you just like, I bleed to death. That's it. Then I'm not Armenian. I'm not still Armenian, but you know, it's
you'll
like, come on.
You'll be remembered as an Armenian.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You need to be remembered as Armenian because if your kids ask tomorrow, mom or dad, when God forbid, I don't even want to say it, but when the Artsakh thing happened, I don't even want to say it. What were you doing? Were you helping?
Of course.
Were you active? Did you do anything? Did you donate? Did you go to the protest? I saw a lot of videos and this guy, Rob, was there.
Face, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah, like kids going to ask questions. My kids ask questions every day. What are you going to answer to your kids that you just went to parties?
The sleepless nights.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday and forgot about Artsakh and you didn't do your part?
Yeah.
Do your part. You can't come to protest. Send a friend. You can't come. Send the email, do Twitterton, post, repost, share.
There's
hashtags.
Too many ways.
There's this internet world
ways.
We're living in. There's so many ways you can help with.
Just call take initiative.
Call a non-Armenian friend, right? We all have non-Armenian friends. And chat like, you look, I don't feel good. Why? Because Artsakh is in blockade. They'd be like, what? Like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. But I want to share that with you.
It
know?
Works. It works.
It works.
Yeah.
Believe me, one little spark, it works. So be active and be united.
And
one.
anybody, otar jogovur to anybody.
No, they care.
Of course they do.
Care.
They have, if they have like minimum one or two Armenian friends, they start paying attention to everything that's
we
going on.
We had otars on the freeway. Yeah. They were like, go, guys.
Yeah.
Let go.
Yeah.
Remember? The Hispanic.
Yeah, during,
go, guys.
During the 44-day war, I was walking next to three British guys. That happen to live here in the States. Like, we just have a bunch of Armenian friends. Was, all right, cool, man. They were there the whole time.
We need
time.
To be the nation that everyone should be proud of us.
Yeah. Robert, I know you're going to be there tomorrow too during the march, but before we let you go, what message do you have for the diaspora, for the Armenian youth, for everybody? What can you say to get people going that to share that positive energy and to bring unity again one more time, just the way we united during the war and be even more powerful? I think you're muted, buddy.
Think you're muted.
I'm sorry.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said, you know, most important thing is we have to start being selfless. You know, a lot of us are, you know, we live in a society where a lot of people are, most people are very selfish. So it's time for us to kind of start, you know, making little sacrifices. Every single person, every single Armenian in Los Angeles can take 20, 30 minutes from their day and come to a protest or, you know, jump on an initiative like the video we had. All we asked for people to do for 20 seconds, just sign a petition, simple petition. France is about to submit a resolution to the U.N. Security Council. So those letters are very, very important because we're trying to show the world that, you know, a diaspora of 10 million Armenians are very concerned about Artsakh. Yet we have 13,000 letters sent to the U.N. So small initiatives like that, small steps like that are very important. And it all comes with personal sacrifices. And, you know, small things matter. You know, when people think that we have all the time in the world, you know, to be at these protests, to do this. But, you know, we do have families, we do have obligations, we do have bills, we do have jobs and businesses and school, children. And just to share something private with you on Thursday when we're at the protest, my son was hospitalized. And I told my wife, make sure he's transported to St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica so I can be close. I was two blocks away from the Nazarene Consulate. So I said, make sure you don't go to Children's Hospital. You bring him directly to St. John's so I can be close, because I have an obligation to these people that are here, 500-600 people, and things were getting volatile with the police. I said, I want my son to be close. I can go back and forth. And I was going back and forth from the hospital to the protest, hospital to the protest. And again, that's why, because I feel an obligation as an Armenian, I feel an obligation to my people, especially at a difficult time like this. You know, even, you know, we have families, we have jobs. We do have to make those personal sacrifices. And every single person, if they take that upon themselves, that I have to sacrifice for the greater good of my country, a country where my child can go and enjoy and see one day, and not only see it in Glendale at the new museum that's being opened up, then they have to start with making self-sacrifices.
Well said. We want to wish your family, your son, the best.
Thank you.
Speedy recovery.
Thank you.
And we will see you there tomorrow at the protest.
Absolutely. I know you'll Absolutely. Be there. I'll be there. Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Robert.
Take care.
All right, guys. All right. Take care.
Well, that was one of your great team members, Robert Tourosyan.
Yeah, we worked for 3 years already together.
You guys should follow him on Instagram. He is so passionate. And I know how much he does, and he doesn't show it. You guys know that.
Yeah.
What you see on Instagram is such a small amount. And
we almost don't post anything.
Yeah, and all Robert is trying to do is wake up people. Wake up not just Armenians, but non-Armenians as well. We have another team member of yours, Alyosha, who's going to join us now. We're going to bring him on the screen. And Alyosha, can you hear us?
Hi, everybody.
How you doing?
Yes. Good. How's my voice? You guys hear me?
Yeah, get a little bit closer, maybe we can hear you.
Okay.
All right, perfect.
Putting him to work.
No, he's a low speaker too.
How you doing today?
Good. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Vi. Thank you, Mike, for having us.
Thank you for joining us.
Shedding a light on our movement. I feel like my colleagues, my friends, like talked about everything, and I'll just repeating what they said. So any specific questions that I can answer, maybe?
Well, why don't you talk about your experience? Like, how did you get involved into activism? I mean, you're just another regular person yourself. And what motivated you to get into this, you know, as far, especially with the Artsakh blockade?
Like as my friends mentioned it, so I was born in Artsakh, raised in Armenia. When I was 15 years old, so Artsakh war started back in 1990. So my parents were living in Armenia, and so they decided, instead of just going to protests, be practical, and it was family five, so they took their children. It was myself, 15 years old, my brother, my sister, 7, and my brother, 1 year old. So we moved back to our village where we came from. And the reason I'm saying this, it was village of 100 families, not even. And us going back there was just one more family. But what this meant to them during the war, that there were some people that were leaving the war zone, but having a family, and it wasn't only us, so there were many cases like ours, like in different parts of Ottawa, but this gave people hope and strength that they're not alone. And when this 4 years of war was going on in Artsakh, so I'm saying this, that every person living in diaspora, I want them to feel how much power they have. See, we were looking up to Spurk, knowing that we have a strong Armenian diaspora that they stand behind us.
Yeah.
They stand behind us, and no matter what, they're going to do something. So this was our hope, and this was giving us strength to go forward. And there were a lot of times, even it was, the situations were much more difficult than it is today, trust me. But because of this hope, because of the unity, we did win the war back then. So when we're talking to people in Artsakh nowadays, and we see light in their eyes after what we did, it is. And this is what I'm trying to say. And my probably the main message would be, see, we're all scoping for our 5,000 kids, young men that gave their life during the 44th day war. They had the same hope that, you know what, this is my sacred, this is my motherland, and I'm going to defend every inch of this land. And they were convinced that if something were to happen to them, they have 10 million Armenians in their bag who is going to take care of their families. This is very important, and I want every Armenian to not take this lightly. And they didn't doubt for a second that they're doing the right thing and selflessly giving their lives. But today, out of that 4,000 or 5,000 men who died, like 1,600 of them were from Artsakh. Half of them were young kids, no families, no kids yet, but the other half, they left wife, kids, families, and today they're starving. Imagine the pain this soldier feels in the heaven, looking down to the situation and seeing that, you know what, the hope he had that if something were to happen to him, his family wouldn't be forgotten, and seeing the situation that his kids and his wife are today. And I'm asking, I'm begging each and every Armenian living in Spurk, today the sacrifice you're going to make is just what? A few hours a day to come and stand there just to show your solidarity, to show, like, today every single one of us is count. Like, often people think, you know what, there's already enough people there, so they're going to do something.
Or but they not. Ask if there's a lot of people, I'm coming, right?
Yeah. Like, what does that matter?
It's like a social
nonsense.
Or they say nothing's going to be changed.
Especially my message is to those who live in the United States. We live in today's one of the most powerful countries in the world, and probably one of the only countries that can do something to change the situation in Artsakh. And in this country, our voices count, especially the elections are coming up.
Yeah.
You know what? We have to show numbers.
Of course. Of course.
So if we can get out like over 100,000 people to commemorate the 100 years of the genocide, today it's happening, guys. It is happening.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be out there, not only in the United States, all over the world. And from one side, this blockade and the situation is terrible. But then from the other side, it's an opportunity and probably the last one that we can use, because every evidence is there, this to be considered as genocide. And if we go out, if we get out and raise our voices around the world, we might be able to make those decision makers lean towards the independence of Artsakh. And there's the Kosovo case already,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and we can make them lean to those, towards that direction if we do our part, if we get out. So I'm asking each and every Armenian living in Los Angeles, in New York, in wherever you are, in France, in Australia, in London. So get out, guys. This is our last opportunity. I don't want to sound dramatic, but if we don't take action today, if we, God forbid, lose Artsakh, we're not going to have Armenia anymore.
Yeah. That is
the reality.
That's the reality. Yep. We will lose Sunik, and then whatever's left over will be gone as well. And this is something that will happen within 10 years. It will happen so fast.
Very unfortunate.
This podcast, I think, like Armenians who speak English, they're going to watch. They're going to listen.
Of course.
Right? They're going to hear it. I want to really ask them if they can choose each 5 foreign people to show them what's going on, because we're not here to talk about politics. We're here to say that, you know,
human lives matter.
Human lives matter. And Aliyev is guilty. He's done so much. He violated so many laws.
Yeah.
And he's guilty in every single count to show that this is a real genocide. And all these world politicians are silent, complete silent. All the news is silent. And every Armenian right now, if also silent, then literally we're at risk to lose our identity, our heritages, our language, our location, and our land and everything.
Yeah.
So I really want to encourage every single Armenian who watches this video, this or hears this podcast, guys, this is the time to get up, take your wife with you, take your children with you, take your dad with you, your uncle, whoever you have, and get up together, because this is the last and the most important war we're going into. And if we all stand up together worldwide as an Armenian and get up together with United and go through this fight, I believe with 10 million people on this earth,
we'll get attention.
I mean, we get attention enough because, you know, we have in America 435 House of Representatives. I don't know which part don't support Armenian. I'm sure there are some. However, this country is a strong, powerful country. So is the other countries, European countries. And if any European Armenian watches this video or hears this podcast, please get up on the street, contact your politicians, and really raise awareness. And one more thing I want to say, the people who lives in Los Angeles that are not Armenian, if you have any cause that is violating, it's related to human rights, we're going to be there for you too. But today, we need your help. We need you to be next to us, because we, as a human person, we need you to stand for the justice, because there are people, there are countries, because of the money and so on and on, they're violating human rights and they're committing genocide today in 2023.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah. Arusha, I want to thank you for joining us. And I want to thank you for everything you've done, being part of this group. Again, I am humbled by what you guys are doing. And I know Mike and I will be there tomorrow. We'll join the fight. Anything else you want to say before I let you go, Arusha?
One more thing, actually. Your question more was how I got involved with the
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I wanted to give a little bit of background, but I lost it. After 2016, my mission kind of was to try to bring the groups, organizations together, kind of to be a glue between them. And I there's many failed attempts also, but what came out of this, and like Rob said, this was after 2020. So we were able to like bond together, and it's 13 of us today from different backgrounds, from different political views, but the amount of love and respect we have for each other, and which actually transfers out to those who are around us today. There are about 500 people that constantly show up for protests. And I want to encourage Armenians living in the United States, in Los Angeles, to come and feel this, to come and bring their kids. So there is so much love in that environment. When they come, they don't want to leave. Like so sometimes true. It's 2, 3 a.m. and there's still like hundreds of people there. So they just want to stick around. So we want this to be contagious, and I believe it will be. It's just time. We're running out of time. We're running out of time. Artsakh is, like, the situation is very dire. I have friends, families, and I talk to them every day. And let's, you know what, you can live, you can fight without food, but you cannot fight without hope.
Of course.
Let's just give them as much hope as possible. They're strong people, they're fighters, they love their land, but they need our support, and they need it today. Please join us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alisha. Thank you. We'll definitely see you there tomorrow.
There's another invite.
Yeah. Well, you enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you for staying up with us. I know it's getting late, so we'll let you go, and we'll see you tomorrow at the march.
See you tomorrow, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Alisha. Another great team member of you guys. Yes. I wish we could bring everybody on.
Oh my God,
one by one. Like, do a roll call.
I think you need to do another one with the others. Because
yeah, why not?
Well, you know what? Crazy idea. Maybe one of these protests, we can do a live podcast from there.
Finally!
I've
been saying this for a long time.
I love the idea.
Hey,
you know what? Maybe you could transfer the love that Alyosha was talking about.
Yeah.
Through your podcast, so people see how the energy, the love, the respect, the bond we've created with this 500 people. I have my biggest fan. She's like, well, 2 years old. When she sees me, Anush, she yells at the crowd, and I'm like, hi. You know, like, we all know each other already. And they come every single protest. They come support. They bring food. And honestly, I wanted to mention this a little bit. All these 12 days, us, the core group, we never bought food, but there was plenty of food for
true.
500 people. They would just bring it with them. We had coffee, we had dessert, we had this. Yeah. Like, please don't.
Blankets,
every time they come, they bring something. They're like, they were coming to our house, like, it's our first time here. We're not going to come empty-handed.
It's typical Armenian thing, right?
I want to give it a little more positive. I know we all kind of went into sad mode with everything happening, but we need to stay positive.
Yes.
We need to stay positive. And believe it or not, when I started doing protests, like, so what do you get out of it? I'm like, honestly, at every protest, I meet at least 10 great people.
Why is that the first question somebody has to ask?
They always ask. I'm already immune to it. No, they're immune to it. But you know what?
Come on.
It's true. Every protest I meet in my phone book, I have at least 10 great people that I meet and we make friends with. And another 10. Another 10, another 10. So you need to be there to network with your big family that we created. So there's no question asked. We don't talk about politics. I go around and I talk to every single one of them. I try, at least. That's why you can't find Anush nowhere. And everyone's screaming Anush. And I try. I try my best to communicate with everyone, to give my love and energy to every single one that came and respected. So, I mean, be there, feel the energy, be filled with the love that we give to each other and be inspired by it. I mean, I don't want to sound like we're talking big, but the love is there.
Yeah. And we want everybody to come and be part of this love.
Yeah.
Part of the movement that has started and organically, and it's going to continue. And now we're seeing, like you said, the politicians getting involved, and it's all because of the little people who made this happen, the regular folk who went out there, and that's you guys. And I'm proud of you guys Usually we have a thing that we say when we end the show, but I want to give the mic to you guys. Your last thoughts before we call it night. I know we're getting into 2 hours. You guys got to go home. I know you got three kids to get to. I got three kids to get to.
Like, so Mom, you're going again.
You have two daughters. There you go. Mike has...
I don't have kids
work
yet.
To get to.
Well, look at a smile on his face. I don't
He's
have
He's so
kids.
Wired up. He came from a hockey game.
I just came from a hockey game. So I've got all this adrenaline in me.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go to a protest
so,
now.
Yeah. So, but before you guys take the mic, I want to say that QR code in the corner, unblock humanity. Please scan that. Go fill out that letter. And it's going to help. Like Robert said, there's a big resolution that France is trying to put together. Yes. This is France is always
a strong community in Paris.
We gotta push as much as we can. We need to stay on top of it.
Yeah. So let's start with you and then we'll end with Anush.
We say so much, dear Armenians, I tell this way. We say so much while we're here. We try to show, I hope you can feel that we love you and we care about our ethnicity. We care about our heritage. We care about our people, our diaspora, our country, Armenia, and Artsakh. First, I want to talk to Artsakh people. I know they don't speak English, but you know, I'm going to try. You know, find
you can say it in Armenian. You can say it in Armenian.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah.
Can I do this conversation in Armenian?
Of course.
Then,
of course.
Last part. I think it's better for me to.
He's been
that
waiting
one.
For this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because, like you know, I have followers also. You know, people watching that. So. Սիրելի հայրենակիցներ ջան, որտեղ էլ որ դուք հիմա ապրում եք, Հայաստանում լինի, Արցախում լինի, Սփյուռքում լինի, աշխարհի որևէ կետում որ ապրում եք, ձեզանից յուրաքանչյուրը, ինչպես եւ մենք ունենք պարտականություններ, մեր պարտականությունները բաժանված է տարբեր կատեգորիաների միջև, ունենք պարտականություն տեղեկացնելու, իրազեկելու Հայաստանում, Արցախում իրավիճակը, ունենք պարտականություն, կան հայեր պարտականություններ Ես պահին սամանը պահելու կամ մարդիկ, որ պարտականություն են երկիրը ղեկավարելու։ Մենք ես պահին մեր պարտականությունը, մեր խնդիրները լուսաբանելու, միավորվելու, միաբան կերպով հաղթարել մեր դիմակ կանգնած խնդիրը։ Սիրելի արցախցիներ ջան, Սփյուռքը ձեզ սիրում է, Սփյուռքը ձեր կողքին է, Սփյուռքը ձեզ չի լքելու, չի լքելու, որովհետև դուք մեր մի մասն եք։ Մենք ձեզ սիրում ենք ու այդ մի քայլի համար մեզանից յուրաքանչյուրս ինչքան իր հնարություններում է պատրաստ ենք ծառայելու ձեզ, պատրաստ ենք ծառայելու մեր ազգին, պատրաստ ենք ծառայելու, որ Հայաստան, Սփյուռք, Արցախ պարակտված կապը նորից վերամիավորվի ու այս անգամ արդեն անխախտ կերպով մենք կարողանանք ստեղծել հզոր երկիր ու ունենանք հզոր միասնական Սփյուռք, հզոր դայասպորա։ Բոլորից սիրում եմ ու հորդորում եմ յուրաքանչյուր հայը որտեղ որ լինեք, առավելևս եթե ապրում եք Լոս Անջելեսում, այս մեր միտինգները, այս մեր պրոտեստները, նստացյուցները, հացադուլները, ինչ որ կատարվում է միայն ու միայն մեկ պատճառով, հզորացնելու Արցախը, Արցախի խնդիրները լուսաբանելու, հանրայնացնելու, որպեսզի բոլոր պետությունների ղեկավար մարդիկ ավելի խելամիտ որոշում կայացնեն, ու մենք էլ մեր պարտավորությունով հանդերձ մեր հոգու պարտքը կատարենք մեր հայրենիքում զոհված ազատամարտիկների ընտանիքների համար։ 120,000 հայ այս պահին կենդանի Արցախում, մենք ձեր կողքին ենք, ժողովուրդ ջան, մենք ձեզ սիրում ենք։ Շնորհակալություն։
He pretty much said everything that I wanted to say.
You say the English version.
David, you always do this. Oh, sorry, that was my... What I say at every protest, you guys know Anush already, I say, yes, sirum emez. And I've been saying this for 3 years, and I even have t-shirts and everything. I want everyone to feel the love. And
I like it.
Yeah, yes, sirum emez. I love us. And you know what? I want you guys to keep on saying that. And believe it or not, when you keep on saying, I love us, yes, sirum emez, I don't know, I feel the unity. I feel I want to stand by David, by you guys, by other followers that come. We want to stand together because Armenian power is within us. It's among us and it's with together when we stand together. That's the only time and that we're strong. And I want us to come together, join our family, right? We're already about like 500, but we want more. So we need to spread the love. We need to spread the love. We need to love each other, respect each other. Just be there for each other. I mean, David said most of it. And I want to say to all the Artsakh people, I love you guys. I love the strength you have. You're Armenian. Artsakh is Armenian. Armenian and Armenian is going to be. And there's no question about it. And we're here to help you. We're here to support you. And in any way possible, we love you guys.
Well said. Well said. Well, I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight, who's watching us, who will be listening to us. I'll have this up tomorrow. I promise I'm going to work all night, edit this so we can put it up on the podcast platform. And we will be there tomorrow. Again, that is tomorrow. If you are in Los Angeles or surrounding areas, come to the march. This will be 6 p.m. at the Azerbaijani consulate. On Wilshire. You guys, if you need more information, come follow AYF West, their Instagram, and get more information. But please, please, please grab everybody you know. Yeah. Bring your non-Armenian friends. Let's have a big show and show the world what we can do as a diaspora.
When we stand together.
Yeah.
Invite everybody you can.
I want to thank you guys again for joining us. We appreciate this. I know this
was
last minute.
For my late entrance.
It's okay, Mike.
No, you had good reasons. It's okay.
Again, I appreciate for Robert putting this together last minute. I know I kind of out of nowhere came up with this idea, but I wanted to do this because it means a lot to me, especially, you know, being so fresh coming from Armenia and everything I saw, which is another episode me and Mike will do and discuss my experience there. Again, we'll see everybody locally who's going to be there at the protest. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back with our official first episode next Thursday. And as we always say at the end of the show, respect one another.
Love one another.
Until the next episode, take care of yourselves.